This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we'll talk some politics with Mike Chittum, longtime Republican Party activist in Baton Rouge and across the state. Yesterday, GOP stalwart, U.S. Senator David Bruce Vitter addressed a press group at the weekly meeting of the Press Club of Baton Rouge, and David Vitter sounding a bit moderate as he makes his case to be the governor of Louisiana. And right now, he is the odds-on favorite to be just that. The election is next year. We'll also talk with the Democratic Party chair, Karen Carter Peterson, state senator from the great city of New Orleans, who was at the media event yesterday and was unimpressed with Senator Vitter. We'll find out why. Now the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your local number, and outside our area, please call 877-217-5757. You may reach us by email, inkstershow@wrkf.org. Mike Chittum is in the house, longtime Republican Party activist, graduate of Baton Rouge High, class of 1968. The year that Hubert Horatio Humphrey, pride of LSU, was running for president and lost a close race to Richard Nixon. George Wallace carried Louisiana that year. Mike Chittum, you were then we didn't have any 18-year-old vote.
That's right. We sure didn't.
So you didn't vote that year, but I'm sure you had a favorite in the race.
Probably did.
Who was it?
It's kind of hard to remember these days, way back yonder.
I doubt that it was Humphrey, though.
You know, he was a happy man, though.
He was. He was. He dined at Louis's a lot when he was in grad school at LSU, too. Class of 1940.
I'm not going to say anything bad about
arguably him. Arguably LSU's greatest graduate, Hubert Horatio Humphrey. In 1948, he won the U.S. Senate race, and the guy who helped him win in Minneapolis was none other than Ronald Reagan, who campaigned for him.
How about that?
Reagan had an epiphany. Did you ever have an epiphany? Were you ever a Democrat?
Yes, I was.
Really?
Yeah, sure was. I switched in 72.
1972, what was the...
George McGovern.
You couldn't stomach the war hero George McGovern.
I couldn't stomach Mr. McGovern.
Why not?
Well, I just didn't agree with his issues. I didn't agree with his convention, and I thought that the country was on the right track.
With Richard Nixon.
At the time, yeah. But my aunt told me I was crazy, so she happened not to like that bitty ad man, as she put it.
And you have been a Republican Party activist almost ever since. That's over 40
years now. I really started very actively in 1970 at LSU when I was a Democrat, being with the Republicans because they were the easy people to get involved with. Also, YAF. I don't know whether you remember Young Americans for Freedom. Yeah. Yeah, they were a great group. Mike Connolly, you know, he could speak a great game. He was a very intelligent man. And
you probably remember Ted Shermer.
I certainly do remember Ted Shermer. I voted for Ted Shermer.
For student body president.
For student body president. I thought it was the way to get rid of the student body.
This was Free Speech Alley, right? Uh-huh. And David Duke, of course.
Yeah.
Do you remember him?
Yeah, sure do.
He was a firebrand even then, wasn't he?
Yeah, he sure was.
297-5633. Well, he was elected once, Mr. Duke was, in 1989, 25 years ago, and served little less than a full term in the Louisiana House, and he was succeeded by another David. David Bruce Vitter succeeded David Ernest Duke in the Louisiana House, and now all these years later, David Vitter is an undefeated U.S. Senator seeking to become governor of the great state of Louisiana. Yesterday, he was at the Baton Rouge Press Club, and here's how Senator Vitter addressed the media throng waiting to hear his every word.
I will lead. I'm not running for governor as a stepping stone or to boast a nice title and cut ribbons. I'm not even running to gain a cameo appearance on Duck Dynasty, as intensely jealous as I am of that.
Sounds like he was taking a shot at Governor Vitter, or Governor Vitter, Freudian slip, Governor Jindal there.
I don't think so. I don't think so? It's all in good fun.
Well, the word is those two don't get along with one another. Is that correct?
I've never...
You being a Republican insider?
I wouldn't know that to be the case. I haven't heard that whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. But you like...
I like Vitter. I think that his issues that I see out there are less taxes. He's for a smaller government. I'm real pleased with what David Vitter is standing for right now.
And you've liked him throughout his career?
Most of the time, yes. I don't agree with everybody, but everything anybody does. But, yeah, most of the time, yes, definitely.
When he was elected in 2004, he beat Chris John and yes. John Kennedy and Arthur Morrell. You were with him then, I suspect.
Yes, I was.
And then in 2010, he whipped Charlie Malasaw. My guess is that you were backing him then. So do you think he's the next governor?
I think there's a high probability of it, definitely.
And why?
Well, I don't see anybody, except maybe Jay Darden, competing against him. Cool. I don't see the Democrats ever being able to put up somebody right now. They don't seem to have anybody that's capable of running. John Bel Edwards doesn't sound like he'll be able to mount a challenge whatsoever. So I think it's basically between David Vitter and Jay Darden, and we'll see what happens.
Well, Jay Darden's a graduate of Baton Rouge High,
yes.
As you are. If it were between those two in a runoff, who do you choose?
Oh, that's a hard one to choose. I don't know if I'm really able to. Well, yeah, I think I like Vitter right now.
You like Vitter better than Darden?
Right now, yeah.
And why?
I like Vitter's stance on less government. I think he's more of a conservative maybe than Jay is. Though Jay's done a fantastic job with tourism and the jobs he's been in. So I really have really no bones to pick with Mr. Darden whatsoever right now.
Well, the state has evolved, and we are now a bright red state. Republicans control almost all the statewide offices.
Fire engine red.
Yeah, you love it, don't you?
I do.
Why has that happened?
I think that people woke up and said, oops, the Democrats went somewhere. They left us. I was a Democrat. They left me. I mean, I didn't leave them. They left me. And I think most people have decided that they rather the Republican philosophy of less government and more reliance on the individual.
Well, some of us believe that McGovern would have been a better choice in 72 than Nixon.
Well, you have your opinions, I have mine.
By the way, the Watergate break-in was 42 years ago today, June 17th, 1972. And
the cover-up was more stupid than the break-in, wasn't it? Well, that was really ridiculous.
Break-in was pretty stupid, too,
yeah.
And illegal.
Uh-huh,
and,
sure was.
Richard Nixon probably should have gone to prison.
Well, resigning the presidency is a pretty big blow to start with, but he wasn't impeached. I was surprised about that.
Well, he didn't stick around to get impeached.
That probably is
the
case.
He didn't fight like Bill Clinton did.
That is true. And since Bill Clinton perjured himself, maybe Bill Clinton should have gone to prison,
well,
too.
Well, he was never found guilty of perjury.
I don't think Richard Nixon was found guilty of anything, was
he? No, but Clinton was tried in the U.S. Senate.
Yes, he was.
And was found not guilty.
He was found not guilty in a political setting, definitely.
True. 297-5633 is your number. 877-217-5757. InksterShow@WRKF.org. Mike Chittum, always outspoken and a flaming red Republican, formerly a Democrat. He's even wearing a blue shirt today, despite his red leanings. And Mike Chittum is in concert with much of the state. No doubt about it, Louisiana now goes statewide for candidates who are of the Republican bent most of the time. What's going to happen in the U.S. Senate race?
Oh, I think we're going to have a Republican senator. I'm delighted with that so
far. And who will that be?
Well, right now it's looking like it's going to be Dr. Cassidy.
And why?
I think he's shown that he's a stable man, that he's able to project what Louisiana wants. He certainly is going to have a big part to play in it. Of course, he's got to project his issues. But I think that the people of Louisiana are tired of people that say, I can produce, I'm the chairman of the Energy Committee, and that pipeline is coming right on through. She hadn't done that. And did you notice how the EPA, I think it's the EPA, wanted us to cut our coal pollutants by 40%? When we don't use that much coal. Strange, she doesn't have that power either, does she?
So you're blaming that on Senator Landrieu.
I blame a lot of things on Senator Landrieu.
Some people would say that's a good thing, though.
Well, some people would, but yeah, I wouldn't.
Yeah, okay.
I think you're going to lose a lot of jobs.
You're all for carbon.
Not all for carbon. Now, come on. You like to twist people's words, don't you?
Well, that's what happens when you don't curb these things.
I am for more jobs, less regulation, common sense regulation, which we don't seem to have from the Obama administration. I don't think they can get their I's and their T's crossed or dotted. I probably can't even spell the words.
Why has the stock market soared under the leadership of President Obama after tanking under George Bush?
Crony capitalism. I think he's feeding it. I think that you can look at the Fed and how they're putting up
Didn't it go up under Bush? It went down under Bush, and it's gone way up under Obama.
I think it went down under Bush at the end of his term.
It started at the Dow Jones Industrial Average was almost 11,000 when Bush took office. It was at 7,500 when he left. Now it's at 17,000 or thereabouts.
When did it start crashing, though? Didn't it crash about...
It started... soaring to great heights, but it did go up before it went down. Yeah. You're correct, and it went down to 6,500 at one point.
It certainly did go down. Because they were spending money. I remember the TARP thing. That wasn't a very good idea, too. I don't say everybody is perfect, but I will tell you that under this administration, even though the stock market is up, those jobs are just fantastic out there, aren't they?
Well, the unemployment rate has...
Has fallen,
down.
But if you look at what the unemployment rate was and how you calculate it under Jimmy Carter, we'd be at 12-15% now.
Well, it's not a roaring economy, but some people are doing well, particularly rich people.
I'm not one of those.
Rich Republicans like you, Mike Chittum.
Sir, I'm on Social Security, and that's my income.
297-5633 for Michael Chittum, longtime Republican Party activist, and... You were around when the Republicans were meeting in the proverbial phone booth. And
yeah, that was a
real... It was you and a few other guys, right?
A few of us. We got together. We helped elect Ronald Reagan. You remember him?
I do.
Did you like him?
I liked him personally.
Did you vote for him?
I don't think so. No.
Ah, okay.
No. But I did like him.
Good.
And I liked his daughter a whole lot. She's been on this show a few times. Patty?
Yeah.
Did you like Patty?
I never met the lady.
I'm not sure she voted for him either.
Well, I think she did a very good job with her mother when he passed on. She seems to have come back into the fold. I was very pleased with Patty, actually.
All right. But Reagan by today's standards of the Republican Party, might be considered a liberal.
I don't think so. I was for Reagan. I can remember.
Well,
Ronald
we had
Reagan.
Tax hikes under Reagan.
We had a few tax hikes under Reagan, but we had a huge tax cut under Ronald Reagan. And we had a good defense under Ronald Reagan. I don't see that now, and I don't
we
think
had huge can... deficits. Your Republican Party is complaining about
actually,
deficits.
You're right, we had huge deficits, and that's the one thing he said he would have liked to have changed. You can't do everything in the White House. I don't blame Obama for everything. I do blame him for the mess that's going on now in Iraq, though.
Well, when we left with Bill Clinton after 8 years, we had a surplus and we had peace. What was it you didn't like, the peace or the prosperity, Michael Chittum?
I liked the Republican House that was in charge, and I think that's why you had it.
So the Republican House was the reason for the success of Bill Clinton, who in 1993 had a deficit reduction plan passed by Congress and got zero Republican votes, not one in the House, not one in the Senate. Took Al Gore to break a tie in the Senate. And you're saying the Republican House was the reason that we had a robust economy under Bill Clinton.
I think if you look at the Republican House, which was taken over by Newt Gingrich and that group under the Contract for America, I think things started soaring then. But, you know, facts and figures, they're all out there. You can prove anything with statistics.
No, you can't prove anything. You can make a case for almost anything.
You're doing a very good job of it.
I think I've got the numbers to back me up. And if there are numbers to the contrary, I'm always open to changing my mind.
That's good to hear.
Now, I have voted for Republicans through the years. You asked if I voted for Reagan. I voted for Republicans. Have you ever voted for a Democrat?
Sure did.
Who?
I think his name was Boogaloo Cooper.
Larry Boogaloo Cooper was a Republican, who opposed Bennett Johnston in 1984.
That's true.
Yeah, he was a Republican. One Democrat through the years you voted for, Michael Chittum? Not a single one?
Not one right now.
Okay. 297-5633 is your number. 877-217-5757. We will go to the phone lines with Mr. Michael Chittum, longtime Republican Party activist who wears his red stripes with pride, and we shall return after this 90-second pause. You can reach us by email as well, inkstershow@wrkf.org. Back in a minute and a half on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge, 297-5633-877-217-5757. Coming next, we are slated to hear from the chair of the Democratic Party, Senator Karen Carter Peterson of New Orleans. Rose in Sherwood. Rose, good morning. You're on the air with Mike Chittum. Hi, Rose.
Morning, Mike. This is Rose Kammerer, last from your past. How does he stand on St. George City?
What now?
How does he stand on St. George City? I'm an old friend of his
on
in
St. George. Okay, well.
St. George.
It's a local issue, but one that has been in the news. You think St. George is a good idea?
I think they have every right to leave if they want to. I think that what started out to be a school board issue seems to be an issue that people now want to take all the way. I look at Zachary and Central. Seems to work for them. So I see no reason why we shouldn't have St. George.
All right. Woody Jenkins has filed suit to try to stop the annexation of the hospitals and the Mall of Louisiana. Do you think he's done the right thing?
Yes, I do. If you look at what Jenkins said and about the how close you had to be, how compacted it had to be, and how the sheriff was going to have to protect part of the big stores and the city police was going to have to protect the small areas, it didn't make too much sense to me. It kind of looked like it was done real rapidly also.
Okay. Woody said he was assaulted at his house. It's in the lawsuit by some ruffians who apparently didn't like his stance on St. George.
I talked to Woody, and he did say he was assaulted, and that was really scary for him because I understand they were throwing rocks and big chunks of concrete at him, and could have killed him.
Yeah, no, that's true. We wouldn't want that.
And we shouldn't put up with that kind of nonsense.
Have you ever been assaulted, Mike?
No.
Okay. 297-5633 is your number for Michael Chittum, who is a Republican with great pride and vigor. Question from Stephen. What about St. George? Not St. George. That was Rose. What about Vance McAllister? Do you think he should run for re-election?
No.
Why?
Why? I think he broke his pledge to the people of the north part of the state. I think he ran on a principles of being this great moral person, and oops, everybody has clay feet, but when you put it out there, it's the only part of your platform, and basically that's what I understood he did. We're in kind of a bad situation in that one. I think he might want to come home.
Well, what's the difference between him and Senator Bitter?
Senator Bitter went through an election. Senator Bitter, the people of Louisiana obviously agreed that Senator Bitter should stay.
Why don't we let Vance go through an election?
Well, he can do what he wants to. I can't stop him, that's for sure.
But if the people say that it's okay, right?
Most of the time.
Yeah? Well, I think the people have largely said Bill Clinton's okay.
Yes, well, sometimes people's judgment is not great, but that's okay too.
And that brings us to another question. What about the presidential election in a couple of years? Are you getting on the Hillary train?
No, I'm not getting on the Hillary train. That's pretty good, though, Jim. I think the Hillary train seems to be collapsing and running into a lot of, roadblocks here lately. It's amazing.
What are the obstacles?
Well, I think for Hillary, first of all, is how is her health? Which seems to be brought up. I don't think she's sick. How she would run the country if she can't do any better than what she did, the Secretary of State, with the Benghazi, what's going on with Iraq, Syria,
the
reset
button
on
her.
I will put it, well, she was in office, wasn't she? Doesn't the buck stop somewhere? But in this administration, it really doesn't stop anywhere. It all is George Bush's fault.
Well, George Bush is the one who got us into a war in Iraq. Was that a good idea?
At the time, yes. At the intelligence he had, yes. He thought the country was in trouble. He thought that they had weapons of mass destruction. They didn't, or we didn't find any, but I think he thought at the time. I think Colin Powell thought so, too. I think that what happened was that we got in there. I would have prosecuted the war a little bit differently, but we seem to have won. And then... all of our gains have been wiped out by Obama withdrawing all the troops, and now look where we are. Look for the price of gas to go up. How do you like $6
All right. Do you think an apology is in order from Bush and Cheney?
No.
No. Well, you were born in 1950. You did not serve in the military.
I did not.
Cheney, born in 1941, got several deferments to stay out of Vietnam. Bush, born in 1946 and served in the National Guard, but did not go to war. What do you think about these guys who did not fight in the war of their generation, who sent young men and women off to die from succeeding generations?
It's always a hard thing for a president to send people into combat. I feel that Obama is having a hard time sending people into combat. I don't know what it takes to be commander-in-chief particularly, but I know what I like when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney did a fantastic job with what they had to work with the military.
Well, they fanned the flames of war. There's no doubt about it. Other presidents would not have made the same call.
Don't know that.
Well, some would have, but I don't know that if Albert Gore would have been elected, that he would have.
We probably would be speaking Russian now.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think so? You really think that, Mike?
Arabic, one or the other.
The world might be a safer place if Al Gore had won.
Yeah, just like climate change.
And by the way, he did win the popular vote. So
yeah, he sure did, but he didn't win the Electoral College. It's amazing what the founding fathers knew way back then.
All right. Judy asks, well, why does your policy, Mike, of getting the government out of our lives not apply to women and gays?
Who said it didn't?
Well, are you in favor of same-sex marriage?
No.
Well, if you want government out of people's lives, what difference does it make for us?
Marriage is a legal contract, and I think it's between a man and a woman. I will tell you I'm a Christian, and I firmly believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. And I think that, you know, you can go so far with the libertarian aspect of my party, and then you have to stand up and say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that.
Well, that's definitely government in people's lives.
That is government in people's lives. But you know what? So are the Ten Commandments, which states we shall not murder, we shall not steal. That's government also.
Okay. What about Governor Jindal, who shares your belief, by the way? Do you think he's the next president?
I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I will tell you that he has not raised my taxes. He has, as somebody said, if it smells like an abortion or acts like something to have abortions, he vetoed it. If it's to raise taxes, if it looks like a tax, he's vetoed those things. He's led this state pretty well, I think.
So you think he's suitable to be the leader of the free
compared
world?
To what we got now, he's damn suitable.
You think so?
Yep.
And he's going to run on the Louisiana miracle. Have we had a miracle?
I think we've had a lot of growth and a lot more jobs in most states. I don't have the exact figures on that. I certainly don't think we're compared to Texas, but we're close. I think we're number four in the economy. I could be wrong about that. But
our economy actually is not growing as fast as the national average under Barack Hussein Obama.
It was growing, and it is still producing jobs.
Well,
and I think that Brock's policies are a drag on Louisiana. I'm waiting for that pipeline that everybody's looking forward to that Mary Landrieu said that she could get done. You know, the strange thing about Mary Landrieu and what's going on out there is that if Senator Reid says jump, she says how high, and the whole state of Louisiana is supposed to go with her.
What about the congressional delegation that is largely Republican when Speaker Boehner says jump? Do the Republicans in the delegation?
I don't think so. I think that's quite obvious. Not all of them jump.
So?
No.
What do you think of Eric Cantor's defeat?
I think Eric Cantor obviously had forgotten where he was from, and the people called him home, and I'm all in favor of the people calling them home.
So you like the Tea Party?
I do like
the
Tea
Party. Well, why aren't you for Colonel Manus then?
Because I think Bill Cassidy, I've known Bill Cassidy, I think he's a qualified candidate. I like Bill. I like what he's...
Now remember, he supported Michael Dukakis. He supported Mary Landrieu. He supported Kathleen Blanco.
There are a lot of times that I will tell you that I will agree with somebody on most of their ideas, not all of them. I mean, nobody's perfect out there.
Okay. Well, thank you, Michael Chittum. Always good to see you, and we look forward to another discussion. I'm sure there will be occasion to talk sometime down the line. 297-5633. We're joined by Senator Karen Carter Peterson, who was front and center yesterday when David Bruce Vitter addressed the press club of Baton Rouge. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
What was your take on the senator's case to be the next governor of our state?
Well, I think he certainly, as in his own words, has a lot of homework to do. A lot of that homework should probably have been done before he announced running for governor. I was there at the press club yesterday, and the fact that every time a major issue came up, he deferred us to and referred us to a forum that would be held later this fall in Lafayette, Monroe, Shreveport, or Baton Rouge on all the major issues facing our state. That's, you know, he's suggesting that he wants to run this state and be the CEO, but yet he hasn't identified what the real issues are, nor has he studied carefully how to move our state forward. So, I mean, I didn't get a lot of information, new information. The one thing that was interesting to me was that he was asked a question about how he would he work with Democrats and Republicans in a bipartisan way. He said, absolutely he would. I was wondering why he might not start doing that right now in Washington. He could probably take a few lessons from Senator Mary Landrieu, who has been working in a bipartisan fashion in putting Louisiana first. And so, you know, that's my initial read on things. You know, I don't understand why he's not been supportive of issues that are important to women, not supportive of equal pay, not supportive of increasing the minimum wage, things that are just destructive and don't help us move forward.
I think you would acknowledge, though, that he is going to be a very strong candidate.
You know, one of the things he said is he chose not to hire Eric Cantor's pollster. That was one of the things he mentioned, and I don't think we can rely on any pollsters nowadays. We need to wait until the folks here in Louisiana are focused on the governor's race and then have an opportunity to weigh the platform of those that are presented before them, and that's right. Some time from now. Certainly, we didn't. I mean, Jim, you were there. He didn't define how to address the issues in higher education. He didn't address how Bobby Jindal has decimated higher education and taken hundreds of millions of dollars in general fund dollars. He didn't even touch on that. Right? I mean, he tap danced around Medicaid expansion. He tap danced around Common Core, not taking any position. Tap danced around the levy board lawsuit. I mean, these are the things that we're facing in our state. Sometimes I wonder, I mean, is he living here or is he living in Washington?
297-5633 is your number. Now, Senator Vitter, without mentioning names, said that he would do better than his most recent predecessors as governor. And by the time Bobby Jindal leaves office at the start of 2016, Republicans will have had the governor's office in Louisiana for 16 of the last 20 years. So,
exactly.
So in essence, he's criticizing Jindal and Mike Foster and Kathleen Blanco. You can't blame this on Edwin Edwards anymore. Why would he be different than, say, Bobby Jindal as governor? Would he be the same kind of governor in your judgment or your prediction? What do you think?
Well, that's a really good question, Jim. And I would suggest to you, if you just look at people's record, it gives you an indication of where they're going in their rhetoric and how they would lead if, in fact, they were given an opportunity to govern in a position like that. There's not a very big difference between Governor Bobby Jindal and a Governor David Vitter. What we saw is Governor Jindal turned down federal stimulus dollars for high-speed rail. We saw him turn down money for early childhood education, right? We saw him just hurt Louisiana repeatedly and further his national ambition. Now, I didn't hear anyone from the GOP Republican leadership. Let's just put everybody in the same basket because their records reflect the same philosophy. David Vitter and Bobby Jindal are synonymous in my mind. And David Vitter has not challenged the irresponsible budgetary schemes of Governor Jindal. He's had a chance to weigh in on the flawed public-private partnerships that Governor Jindal set up with the charity hospital system. He's had a chance to weigh in on Governor Jindal not accepting the Medicaid money to take care of 252,000 people. He's had a chance to weigh in on the fact that higher education institutions are hurting because of the state funds that have been depleted. So the GOP leadership over the last 16 years has failed the people in this state. And if they want something different, I mean, the definition of insanity is to continue to do the same thing and expect a different result.
297-5633 is your number for Senator Karen Carter Peterson, Democrat from New Orleans, who is chair of the Louisiana Democratic Party. Rob on I-10. Rob, you're on the air with Senator Peterson.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have to admit that I am mystified when I hear you talking about, Senator, respectfully, when I hear you talking about the failures. Under any objective measure, Louisiana's business climate has gone up dramatically. The number of jobs has gone up dramatically. And the number of firms locating here offering living wage jobs has gone up dramatically. In fact, if you're an engineer and you don't have a job now, it's hard to imagine. So I guess I see nothing but successes as a business person. I'm a California refugee. And we love it down here, and we wouldn't. You're ignoring the thing that pays for the things you want are the jobs that Governor Jindal has created and David Vitter will create.
Your response, Senator.
Yeah, and certainly I have the ability to be objective. I serve in the legislature, and when it's good for the state, I'm for it, notwithstanding who, if it's the governor's initiative or if it's someone else's. Let me just give you a few statistics. We have the highest infant mortality rate, the highest diabetes death rate. We have the highest rate of death from breast cancer. We have the third highest rate of cancer death, the sixth highest rate of children born to teenage mothers, and the eighth highest rate of teenage pregnancy. Now, we can talk about jobs, but I want to focus on the people that can either be trained to take advantage of those jobs or not be. They're not being educated at the level that they need to be, nor can we be proud of the kinds of investments that are being made in our institutions. For example, more than 80% has been cut since 2008 for Louisiana's public colleges and universities. Youth services cut by 40%. Veterans cut by 69%. The Veterans Affairs Program. DEQ was cut by 96%. I mean, you can't just take, these... It's nice for business people to say that we have created some jobs. I will acknowledge there has been some jobs. But overall, our economy has not been as impressive as it's been as other states.
297-5633 or 877-217-5757 or inkstershow@wrkf.org. We shall return in 90 seconds with Senator Karen Carter Peterson, Chair of the Louisiana Democratic Party. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. 877-217-5757. Karen Carter Peterson is our guest, the chair of the Louisiana Democratic Party. Bandelli and Baker, good morning. You're on the air with Senator Peterson.
Good morning, Jim, and good morning, Senator. My question is that it seems to me that working class and lower middle class white voters would be better served voting Democratic because of the programs such as minimum wage and Medicare. Are there any other reasons for this lack of voting Democratic in part of those voters in addition to race? And what role does race play in that?
And I had a difficulty hearing part of the question, Jim.
Could you rephrase the question, Bandelli?
Yes. My question was, what role does race play in the fact that a lot of working-class whites vote Republican in spite of the fact that a lot of the programs that the Democrats support, such as minimum wage and Medicaid, would actually help their situation?
Yeah, so I think I understand the question. What role does race play in in voters when they vote?
White voters voting against what Bandelli believes would be in their best interest. Is race causing them to vote in a different way than they would otherwise?
Well, certainly I can't speak to what, you know, when someone goes in the voting poll, voting booth, what their the impetus is for them to vote for one candidate or another. I will say that, you know, certainly the media plays a part in what people learn and how they're educated about candidates. And certainly the candidates have a responsibility to articulate a message that resonates with all voters, notwithstanding race. And so, you know, there are people with, you can also inject class as a potential factor in how people vote. When it comes to taxes and paying more taxes or less taxes, oftentimes voters will look at what their own situation is and decide whether or not, you know, they want to be with a candidate that is espousing a certain fiscal message or platform. And so what I'll say, I certainly don't want to dodge the question. I think that the individual voters are making decisions not only based on the level of melanin in their skin, but they're basing it on their current situation in our society and what their financial situation is, their social environment is, whether they, you know, think more resources need to be put on the environment, on public safety and healthcare and higher education. And many of those things are race neutral. You would want people to vote what they think not only is in their own self-interest, what's in the interest of the greater good. And when we do more of that, notwithstanding race, notwithstanding class, because, you know, we've got folks like Warren Buffett and we've got, you know, a lot of wealthy people who recognize the goodness in contributing to society in the form of taxes. And that our responsibility as elected officials is to make sure that those taxes are commensurate with the services we provide and they're put to good use and there's no corruption or mismanagement of those. I would suggest to you that when a governor like Governor Jindal comes into office with a $1 billion surplus left by a Democratic governor, mind you, right, Kathleen Blanco, a $1 billion surplus, and then leaves this state, which he will, with a $2 billion deficit, you can no longer call yourself a fiscal conservative.
All right, 297-5633 for Karen Carter Peterson. Edwin asks, why haven't Governor Jindal and Secretary Moray's jobs lifted Louisiana from the bottom of the bad list and returned Louisiana's lost 2 congressional districts? We still have a problem with people moving out of the state and we have one of the lowest growth rates in America, and certainly the lowest in the South, even today.
Yeah, that's right. And in 2007, the Louisiana was ranked 30th in per capita income. And I think your previous caller wanted to talk about jobs and the increase in jobs. If we've had that much increase in jobs, why are we still ranked 29th, you know, 7 years later in per capita income? It's just not the numbers don't add up. It's bad math.
Ann on Bluebonnet, you're on the air with Senator Peterson. Hi, Ann.
Hi, good morning, Senator Peterson. I have a comment and then a question. The comment relates to a couple of speakers ago who talked about all the Jindal and his gang bringing all the jobs to Louisiana. I would completely disagree with that. Those jobs are going to come anyway. We have abundant natural resources. It's the natural gas phenomenon with the Haynesville Shale that brought all those jobs. That would happen whether a Democrat or a Republican is in. It's to our advantage to try to harness that economic power in a way to help the people, and Jindal has not done that. I think in the long run, his complete decimation of higher education is going to be counterproductive to growing the economy in Louisiana. My question for you, Senator Peterson, is how does one get more involved in the Democratic Party in Louisiana?
Yeah, so look, Ann, good morning to you, and thanks for your comment. I totally agree that this governor certainly can't take credit for the growth in developing our natural resources. That's a function of supply and demand, and it's much more not only national but global in scope. And so, you know, the smart thing for him would have been to make sure that the Louisiana workforce was trained when he came in 2008. And we would have been better prepared to take advantage of the opportunities that are now presented. We've got literally 40, 50, 60,000 jobs that are coming online, and we're going to start seeing all these out-of-state license plates coming in to take advantage of it because someone hasn't been doing their job. They've been traveling around the country running for president. Now, with respect to the Louisiana Democratic Party, that's very easy, very, very easy. www.louisianademocrat.org. www.louisianademocrats.org,
right.
And you can get connected and communicate with us and get more information about what we're doing at the party. I'd be happy to talk to you.
BJ in Denham Springs. Hi, BJ. You're on the air with Karen Carter-Peterson.
Good morning, everyone.
Yes.
I'm just curious. I personally feel nowadays that there isn't much difference between a Democrat or a Republican. But the senator made a comment earlier about the state of the affairs with the veterans in the state. And I'm curious as to how that could be put on the governor when that's a federal program. And also, you know, talking about the training for the industry that we're having today, if that's the case, if the Democrats see that coming, why didn't they bring it up or try to implement anything in the training for today's economy that we have going on?
Yeah, so thank you so much for the question. And, you know, I'm glad you're asking it because it gives me an opportunity to clarify the distinction between our party and the values that we have and the other side. In the last 7 years that this governor has been in office, he has not invested in people. I gave you the statistics. I don't want to run through them again about how people in our state are suffering with respect to health, with respect to education, and with respect to our environment. And nobody's talking about just giving people a check. People, we are talking about giving people the opportunity to lift themselves up out of poverty through education and good health. This governor has rejected the opportunity to receive dollars that have come down from a Democratic administration, just on the face of it, that would help our people. These monies are going to get spent anyway. So when you say there hasn't been an attempt by the Democrats to do that, I think that is absolutely false. The second thing I'll say is the state government, the House, the Senate, and the executive branch are all controlled by GOP leadership. Okay? The GOP leadership has failed this state. We are in this situation with a $2 billion deficit we're facing next year as a result of a failure of the Republican leadership, and that includes everybody in the party. Because when you have the opportunity to lead, the people of this state expect that you will make those kinds of investments in people to advance our state and particularly advance our people. So I think there's a clear distinction when it comes to making sure that people have an opportunity for education, access to affordable health care, you know, affordable housing.
Clyde in Lafayette. Clyde, good morning. You're on the air with Senator Peterson. Hi, Clyde.
How you doing? Great show today. Senator Peterson, I'm African-American. I am a conservative Republican. I understand your viewpoints about the Democratic Party, but I also have to agree with the gentleman before. I mean, it was your left wing, right wing. They're all so far the same vulture the way I see it. I've been in Louisiana for over 20 years. And I have yet to see a politician, Democrat or Republican, take office and follow through with what they said they're going to do. I'm lucky enough to have a job with an organization affiliated with Fair Housing. And day after day, I see people abuse that system. I don't see anyone being vetted to see if they should qualify or not. But every time the election rolls around, all I hear about is we need more subsidies. When is it going to stop?
Yeah. So thank you for the question. And I think it's important to recognize, I can't emphasize this enough, when the last Democratic administration leaves the next guy or gal with $1 billion in surplus and they waste that $1 billion, you can't ignore that. And when the people elected Governor Jindal, he was elected under the guise of being
a fiscal conservative in doing right with Louisiana taxpayers' money, okay? How do you say that that's right when he has a projected deficit of close to $2 billion next year? $1 billion when he came in, surplus, $2 billion when he leaves. Irresponsible. And then you add to that what's happening with higher education, K through 12 education, our healthcare institutions. It is abysmal. The numbers are abysmal.
All right. Well, when we look at when we look at the last five gubernatorial elections in Louisiana, Senator Peterson, Republicans have won four times, and in the four cases they have, the candidates in runoffs, one case there was not even a runoff necessary. Actually, two cases. The Jindal race is the last two. The candidates who won, the Republicans, got no less than 54% of the vote and up to 66% of the votes. So, how can you change that momentum? Is there any way possible that a Democrat can win in 2015?
Well, let me tell you something. Thanks for the question, Jim. I really do think there's a huge opportunity. People are very wary of anything like Governor Jindal serving again as CEO of this state. He will go down as one of the worst governors of this state, not because Karen Carter Peterson said so, because of his record and because of what he's done to this state. And he has not focused on the people. He has focused on his own personal and political ambition at our expense. And he is not, he's not caring. He's very callous and disregard, and he disregards the fate of Louisiana children and everything that he does, as he chooses not to focus on the job at hand. Number two, Democrats have a real opportunity by contrasting our philosophy and what we believe in and what we would invest in as a Democratic governor, right, as opposed to what Governor Vitter's record reflects, because we don't know what he's going to stand for yet. Well, we heard yesterday.
A question from Bob, who asks if there were a runoff between Vitter and Jay Darden, who would you vote for, Senator Peterson?
Well, thank goodness I'm not going to be faced with that choice.
Well, but if heaven forbid, if that happens,
heaven forbid, that's not even possible. That is not even likely.
Who's out there? Who's out there for the Democrats to support and be effective as a candidate?
Sure. I mean, we've got a champion in John Bel Edwards, who has been the chairman of the Democratic Caucus. Once again, the GOP leadership has been in office, and they have failed the people of this state. John Bel Edwards has been fighting for the things that are right. He's an announced Democratic candidate. He may not be the only announced Democratic candidate as we move forward, but his record reflects everything that I'm talking about that contrasts directly with what Governor Vitter stands for. And so people will have a choice, and that choice will be very different from the Jindal Vitter way.
Okay, so you're connecting Jindal and Vitter, and I don't know that these two guys particularly like one another.
It doesn't really matter whether they like each other. They're one and the same if you look at the record. This, none of this is personal. That's the thing. None of this is personal. It's not about the personality. It's about the policies that they espouse and actually their record. Their record reflects the same thing. Both of them stand against equal pay for women. Both of them stand against increasing the minimum wage. Both of them have not espoused support for increasing access to health care with federal dollars that will cover 100% for 252,000 people stuck in now what we'll call the Jindal-Vitter gap. It's not just the Jindal gap anymore.
It's the Jindal-Vitter gap. Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Well, Senator Peterson, it's always nice to talk with you, and certainly
we hope
to touch base again soon. Thank you very
much. Anytime. Thanks, Jim, for having me, and have a great day.
You too. Thanks for joining us from the splendid city, the crown jewel of Louisiana, the city of New Orleans. I'm sure Mike Chittum, who has stayed in studio throughout the interview with Senator Peterson, would agree with that. And I'm sure you agreed with much of what she said today. Yeah. Michael Chittum, you're smiling. You took it in stride. But she got some questions that were contrary to her beliefs, which is what this show is all about. And, she was talking about bipartisan spirit. I think Senator Vitter could, perhaps it would win him the election if he did it. if he wanted to be bipartisan, he would say, look, if I'm elected governor, I will appoint a Democrat to succeed me in the U.S. Senate. What do you think of that idea?
I don't think he'd be elected governor then.
I think he might. I think he might.
Senator Vitter's a lot smarter than that. He's not going to fall for that nonsense.
So did we miss anything the first go around? Did you want to say anything else?
No, I think the Democrats show exactly what they're like. Constantly trying to spend money, spend. I didn't hear one cut out there that she or the Democrats are ever in favor of.
You liked all the cuts to higher education, Mike?
Some of them.
Yeah?
Not all of them, but some of them. You can't agree with everything.
67% is a big cut.
It is a big cut.
All right. We'll be back soon, as in tomorrow. Until then, for Frank Barnett, I'm Jim Engster. Stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.